to worship this morning, and we welcome any visitors in Jesus' precious name. Just a few intimations before we begin with our intro. First one I've got is a communicants class for January, starting January through to February, with idea of any membership being on the 18th of February. So anyone who becomes a member is now available, can be a member as we share in communion in March. That's for anyone who wants to be a member, or anyone who wants just to explore what it means to be a member, or anyone who's already a member and wants just a wee reminder of what it was that they talked about when they became members. Excuse me, I'm going to go across here so I can see the screen. Tea and coffee there, feel free to join for a cup of coffee and a chat in the small hall after worship. For the Guild, on the 28th, the speaker will be James Law, and the subject will be My Love of Scotland, just in time for St Andrew's Day. And on the 1st of December, 2 p.m, asked to join the Drossan Presbyterial Council for Advent Carols and Alternativity at Clark Memorial Church in Largs. The Christmas gift service will take place on Sunday the 10th of December. And church, just a notification, Church magazine is available now, and it's available online to read and to listen to as a podcast from the website. And the elders' books are in the vestibule, as well as the free will offering envelopes. There's a letter to be given out with the magazine, and this will explain why members will no longer be given communion cards prior to Communion Sunday. And a discipleship group meets on Tuesday in the small hall at 10:30. It's a chance we explore. We're now looking at whatever the sermon has been. So looking at what I'll preach today, and looking a wee bit more in depth, have a discussion around that. So a warm invitation to all. And here's your last chance to buy tickets for the panto. I'm resisting the temptation to say anything else about that, because I was going to go with no, I'm not. Adults at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock? Adults at £7, children £4. And so if you want tickets, speak to Ross. This is the last day. Let's sing our intro together as the word is brought in. Make way for Christ the King.
Thank you.
our call to worship. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let's worship him again. Come on and celebrate. Celebrate and sing. Let's worship. I think we all get good marks for endurance and effort. But these things happen sometimes, and you know, we do what we do, and we come and we worship, we do what we can, and if it doesn't work out, God knows what our heart is. So let's not beat ourselves up about how well or how well, how not well we did things, if that makes sense. Just a wee heads up, because I suddenly realised I should have said something about earlier. I've kind of changed the order of service a little bit. So the reading now comes in before we do anything else. And that's particularly when we have youngsters in as well, the jam club are in. But we'll have the reading before them. So everyone hears the word of God read this morning before anything else happens. And that would be a thing I'll do for the future. So that was just a wee heads up, Ken, that you'll be on just after this prayer. Okay. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we're here in this place to meet with you through the Holy Spirit. Lead us to encounter you today, to help us to know that you are God. Father, we come this morning to declare with faith that you are our God. You are our King. We come within our community and our church to declare with faith that you are our God. And even amidst all the unresolved fears of our lives, the burdens that we carry, we declare again with faith that you are our God. And we bring to you now the worship of our lives. And Father, as we worship you and praise you, we see you like a shepherd. You never stop searching for your people. You care for us. You anticipate our needs. Before we even recognized that we needed your grace, in love, Jesus gave his life for our forgiveness. We confess that we need your forgiveness. We confess our sins, the things we want to say sorry for. But you're the shepherd and we are your flock. But we admit the times we have tried to take your place and take control ourselves. We admit that we have not always trusted your good news to be good for us. At times we have pleaded with you to care for us, but we've held back from caring for others and ignored the needs of others. Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us in the name of Jesus. Loving Shepherd, teach us by the Holy Spirit to follow you in the days and places of the weeks ahead. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are now sharing our reading of the word, which is from Matthew chapter 14.
Anyway.
now where Jam Club share with us that they've been doing during October. And so I hand you over to Reza. Right enough. And of course in December so try and get the right months, what we hear more of the nativity service is more of what the Jam Club have been preparing in December. Have I got all that right? Thank you. Let's just take a moment in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for our children. And ask a blessing upon them. Lord, that they would know your word and your ways as they learn and grow all about, and to learn all about Jesus and what it is that you've done for each one of us. I ask a blessing on those who teach as well. Lord, it's such an important thing to do. So I ask you for a blessing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sing together a song we've used before. It's a video song, so it'll be up on the screen. It's called Never Give Up. But it's just that thing about always focusing on God, that despite what's going on around us, we should never give up on God. Let's just worship. There was something around there, yeah. Let's just take a moment in prayer again. Let's pray. Father, as we begin to work our way around who you are, may your spirit be with us. May you bless us. On this day, as we remember Christ as King, may we know your majesty and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand to worship King of Kings, Majesty. Thank you. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. For the last few Sundays, we've been trying to look at Christ as priest and then Christ as prophet, and today Christ as king, this being the last Sunday of the Christian year. Next week is the start of Advent and our preparations for Christmas. But this week is the last Sunday of the Christian year, and we think today of the rule and the reign of Christ the King. So we start to think of Jesus in that third office as King. And a lot of that comes from our own views, the danger of bringing our own views of a king and looking at the monarchies over the ages. You know, the people born into the royal lineage, the people who have just seized the power, have usurped the king and seized the power. But generally, all that's been unelected. Generally, it's all about having the position, having the power, and other people taking it. And sometimes, of course, we see rulers of countries today operating almost like we would imagine a king, but without that sort of monarchical family background behind them, without that idea of being king. They would call themselves a president, but they would rule as a dictator in many ways. And the idea of, maybe we've seen kings of old. But you know, these people all have three things, really. They have power, have wealth, and they have that position, that status, and that ability to put themselves over others. But you know, when we begin to think about Jesus and Christ as King, we realize that's not the case with him. Sometimes easy to imagine, what would we do if we were king or queen? What was it that we would actually want to do? And what is it that we would need? Maybe the need is more important. You'll excuse me a moment. This trouble earlier. I'll switch the microphone off though. Maybe as we start to think about ourselves as a king or a queen, we actually need the crown. Ross, you need this for the panto. But you know, we start to think, this is the kind of thing we start to do, is to imagine ourselves in that position. But we need the right things. We need to have a crown. We need to have the proper cloak. We need the scepter. But more importantly, we're thinking, we need the power. What's the point of being king or queen if you don't have the power? The power to make the rules, the power to do things, the power to go along and to change things. You know, really what we want is the power to be able to command our people, our servants, to get them to do what it is. You know, we want to get to our minions, to get them to do this and do that, whatever it is. But it's not so with Christ the King. You know, all we need to do is look at Scripture and we see what Jesus does in that upper room the night before his denial, his arrest and trial, before that, the betrayal, the arrest, the trial, the denial, the torture, the crucifixion, and all that goes with that. That night, before all that started, Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. And what did he do there? he served him. The king served him. In John's gospel, we read that he actually washed their feet. He took water and he took towels and he took time and he humbled himself before them and he washed their feet. Other gospels, we see the sharing of the bread dipped in the sauce. We begin to see the whole action of the cup as well. But Jesus served. He humbled himself to serve and to be a servant, to carry out servant's tasks. And even when we read of blind Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus was sitting there at the roadside, couldn't do much else, he was begging. And Jesus and his entourage were coming and he heard the noise and he knew who was passing. He knew who it was and he called out and the people told him to be quiet. But Jesus heard him and called him over. And then Jesus said to the man, "What is it? What do you want me to do for you?" So instead of telling him something and just doing something, Jesus took the time to say, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And there's times in scriptures where we see that the disciples or just the people decide that Jesus is a king, he's going to be king, but their imagination of king is going to be someone who'll rule over them and throw the Romans out. And they want to seize him to give him that power. And he disappears from these situations. You read it in scripture, it's there. And then we can see as well, you know, with wealth. We see how Jesus deals with wealth in Matthew's gospel. In chapter 19. This is the rich man. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." So wealth's not an issue. In fact, for this particular young man, Jesus has said, "See all that stuff that you've got, all that wealth, sell it, get rid of it. Give it to the poor. These are the people that need it. Get rid of all that wealth." So for Christ the King, wealth's not something. Christ isn't saying to folk, "Well, actually, I'm your rabbi, your leader, I'm your minister, I'm your preacher, and so all that stuff that you've got, all that wealth you've got, I'll just look after it for you. I'll take it." Thank you, Maureen. But no, Jesus doesn't say that at all. What he does say is, go and get rid of it and give it to the poor. So wealth isn't something for our king. He's only interested in dealing with the poor, the isolated. You know, and that's a recurring theme right through scripture. what is it that we do with what he gives us? And actually, his justice is about looking after, in Old Testament terms, you would call it the widows and the orphans. But it's actually about the poor, the isolated, the excluded, those who don't have. And it's about those in need that they get. That's the response that this king wants to make. He's not interested in wealth. He's not interested in power. He has power. We see his power through Scripture. We read of his power. And maybe it's low the status. But we know from our history and even from our present day that rulers use and have used force to get their own way. They've used their position. We've seen them use their position to make sure the opposition is removed. And usually that's by violence. But actually, Jesus has rejected violence. Jesus told us the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, to turn the other cheek. In this time when he's betrayed, he's in the garden. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your servant back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" So, here we are, Jesus turning the other cheek, Jesus saying, don't use the sword, don't use violence. So it's not this position thing by using force. This king is different. Our king is different. He has another way of being king. And in Matthew 27, this is still going through this whole arrest and trial stuff. But here in Matthew 27, here's a response that people made to the king. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. You know, the world mocks Jesus, the king. The world mocks, as they mocked the king then, they mock him today. And yet he's come to rule and to reign over the world as king forever. Jesus has come to be with us, to be alongside us, to lead us. But he's come, and yet the world mocks him. But he is the king. The seventh angel from Revelation 11, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." So our king, Christ the king, our king, Christ the king, has come to rule and reign over us. But in this world, what we see is the mocking, which gets louder and louder. And we see this when the world starts to follow its own path, which it has been doing. It goes down a line, and it's the people who reject the king, they follow their own kings, their own gods, power, wealth, force, their own desires. I am, therefore, everyone else should be. And I've got the power to tell people what they must know and what they must do and how they must act and how they must bring up their children, and on and on and on it goes. The world is mocking the king because the world is no longer looking at the king to even consider what Jesus is doing, what the king is doing. And when we get to this parable of the bags of gold, here's something else. There's something else. Do we just hold on to what God has given us and give it back to him? Do we do that? Do we just say, right, God, you've given me this, whatever it is, I'm just going to hold it and then I'll give it back to you? Is that something that we're called to do? I don't believe it is. Actually, I believe that when we take what God has given us, when we take what God has given us and we sort it, we deal with it, we do something with it, it grows because God wants it to grow. So when we take what he does and he gives us, we begin to follow our king who serves us. He's given us already. How does that work? Well, for us to follow and to serve as disciples is about doing what Jesus did and does. And Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So how do we work out what is we see Jesus doing, if but investing the things that he's given us through prayer, through reading scripture, for finding out more about him and learning more about who Jesus is? And we can do that through scripture, we can do that through prayer, we can do that by speaking with people and sharing information, and we can do it by researching who God is. And we can share that with others. And that way it grows. As we share. It's what being a disciple is. It's what following the king is, serving him. But you know, as the world mocks our Jesus, our king, as the world turns on any religion, in fact, but it seems to be that our king is in for the rough time at the moment. As the world mocks, do we sit and do nothing? Do we sit and just let the mocking continue? Do we sit and do nothing? Because if we sit and do nothing, we're just as bad as the mockers. For evil to prevail, good people need do nothing. So if we don't do anything, it's all going to go. If we just hold on to what Jesus has given us and do nothing with it and say nothing about it, then nothing else is going to happen. And we have a danger here for church, that sometimes we focus only on our own time in church together and Sunday morning, and that's what we do. But where are we sharing about God's will for us, about what Jesus has done? But maybe, of course, he's not that important to us, and he's not first in our hearts. Do we serve him through the gifts, the skills, and the talents he's given us through his Holy Spirit? Or do we use them for our own ends? Do we say, thanks very much for all that, God, I'm now going to do this. Thanks, Jesus, it's been a real blast, but I'm going to ignore you for 6 days of the week. In fact, I'm going to ignore you for 6.5 days of the week, and I'll just see you here in church on Sunday. And I believe that's part of the problem we're facing now, is that church becomes more and more encapsulated, and it kind of becomes that thing that people, well, sometimes it's a place of sanctuary for us. It's a place we can come and we can be fairly safe together. But that's not what our King has ever wanted for us. Jesus has come and will come again to rule and to reign over the world. Scripture tells us that. I believe that to be the truth. But what have we done with what he's given us in this time? For as church, if we do nothing, then it will be a case of, at some point, last one out, switch off the lights. That's what will happen. It's in our power, because the King has given us what we need to be church, to be his people, his servants in this place. I believe that's what our calling is, and that's what we share. If we just hod it all and give it back to him, it's not grown, it's nothing. If we invest it, and you know it's difficult, I know it's difficult for people. Some people just can't manage to do as they used to do. Some people have done what they've always done and they need something different. I get that. But you know, the one thing we can all do is pray. The one thing we can do is hear scripture. And we can share and obey the commandments. These are the things that he's given us. God loves each one of us. And he gave us Jesus Christ to be our King, to be our Savior, to be our priest, to be our prophet. He gave us Jesus for our eternal life, for our salvation. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We continue with our offering. So as we approach our Lord in prayer, we think of our prayers for others and our prayer of dedication. We dedicate our offering, and we dedicate ourselves to him and to his service. In terms of things of joy, the Crossreach prayer diary today is for Cunningham House in Edinburgh, a homeless hostel for men and women, which also supports service users with drug and alcohol addictions, as well as mental health issues. The Presbytery prayer diary today is for Dalry St. Margaret's Church, because that's now in vacancy. So we pray for them in that situation, and we also pray for the Presbytery Mission Committee with the Reverend Elizabeth Watson, who is the convener. We pray also for the things of joy that we know in our own hearts, things that God has done for us in the times when we've just been lifted this week by the presence of God is here. God is right here beside me. Sometimes that can come from something that's really, really happy and a good thing. And sometimes we sense God's presence in the depths of our own misery and burdens. But whenever we sense God, that's a thing of joy, to know that he's here. And it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As we look at things of concern, obviously there's the gun attack in the mosque in Sinai, with over 300 dead now. The reports of 10 gunmen running in the place who have apparently been IS trained and carrying IS flags. So that whole thing that's there, we pray for those, who have been involved in that situation. Pray for too for the burdens of our own hearts, for the things that we carry with us that we want to share with God. So as we come together, let's come together before our loving God, our shepherd, and pray. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that in Christ your reign of love is endless and cannot be destroyed. We thank you that you raised Jesus to life and that you have placed all things under his authority. And we give you thanks for the community of the church, giving thanks for one another here in this place, and for the family of the church throughout the world. We give you thanks for the ways in which you have blessed our lives through the love and friendship of others. Heavenly Father, we pray for the leaders of the world, that they will look after the peoples of the nations as a shepherd looks after their flock. In their decisions, may they bind up the injured and strengthen the weak and seek your justice in all things. We pray for your church, for this congregation to which we belong, and the congregation to which we're linked. And we pray for the congregations in our presbytery, and we pray for the presbyteries of our church. May the love of Christ rule among us, that others may encounter Christ in us and come to trust in him also. And Father, as we present these, our offerings, tokens of everything that you've given us, we give back to you. We present ourselves to you, we dedicate ourselves to you once more. And that you would use us for the building up of your kingdom in this place. Amen. And we praise him again, crown him with many crowns. Let's worship.
Thank you.
and now go to love and to serve the Lord your God, the Lord who loves you first. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Please just remain standing as we sing our exeunt, to which the word will be brought out. It might be a new tune to us, but if it is, just listen to the music and see how the words fit. Ascribe greatness to our God the Rock.